Devoted by Jerrykeen, read by Night Tracer. Fandom, Teen Wolf. Pairing, Derek Styles. Styles expected the incubus to be something ethereal, otherworldly, inhumanly beautiful. This guy looks like a lawyer. He's wearing a suit, an expensive looking one, and his hair is slicked back, shiny with product. Styles wouldn't call him handsome, but his face is symmetrical enough to be attractive. To some people. Probably. And there's this air of confidence about him that tends to make completely unexpected people sexy. Not that Styles finds him sexy, because ew, but he can see how others might. He walks towards Styles. No, wait, he saunters, predatory and suggestive, hips swishing in a way no man should be able to pull off. Kicks the bucket of goat's blood Styles had so painstakingly seasoned with various magical herbs under the full moon, and stands in front of him, shaking his head fondly. Styles. Styles, 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 he says, an amused lilt to his voice. What are you doing? Just hanging out, Styles croaks out. It takes actual, conscious effort not to turn tail and run, but he knows he can't leave Scott and Derek there. They're in two different corners of the room, being held against the walls with some sort of magic force field or whatever, and judging by the looks of their faces, it's not a particularly enjoyable experience. You thought you'd be able to kill me. You. He reaches a hand and places his palm over Styles' wildly beating heart. Don't get me wrong. You have a lot of potential, but you're just a kid, Styles. The way he keeps repeating Styles' name, so intimately, like he's tasting it, makes Styles want to throw up a little bit. The creature leans close, his skin wrinkling more and more the closer he gets. And by the time he's face to face with Styles, his cheeks are like maps, sandpaper dry and crisscrossed with lines. He smells like rotten fruit, sickening sweet. I've been around for centuries. I eat kids like you for breakfast. When he grins, his teeth gleam in the poorly lit room. Styles tries not to recoil and fails. Well, I tried, he says, stalling. You gotta give me points for trying. The thing smirks. Oh, I do. You have spirit. I like that. He traces a fingertip on Styles' chest, around his heart. Round and round, it's no longer a human finger tracing lines, but an ugly grey claw. Styles licks his lips and takes a glance at Derek, who's fighting with his invisible bonds, looking red in the face like Styles has never seen him before. Styles hopes he doesn't get killed here. Not like this. Not in front of Scott and Derek. They have enough trauma to cover several lifetimes already. Besides, an incubus? Really? If he has to go, Styles would prefer to be eaten by a dinosaur or something. Not to be sexed to death by a middle-aged lawyer, badly in need of a manicure. Now, to be fair, Deaton had said this was a bad idea. Only couples, he told them. People in love would have the most resistance to its allure. But it's not like they could go out and recruit people for something like this. They have to work with what they have. And what they have are just two couples in their pack. And they couldn't possibly call Lydia and Jackson back from their honeymoon. Styles had tried. Lydia hung up on him. And Scott would have ripped someone's head off if they suggested Allison to come, 5 months pregnant as she is. So they did the best they could. Scott, because he's sickeningly in love with his wife. Styles, because he's the only one who can make the potion work. And Derek, because he's the alpha and wouldn't take no for an answer. And now here they were, clearly defeated and at the mercy of a centuries-old sex offender. You could give in, you know, the thing says, slinking even closer to Styles, its foul breath brushing Styles' skin. There's nothing wrong with wanting something back for once. Think of the relief. He's never going to want you back. But I do. Styles' eyes fly to Derek involuntarily and meet his gaze. Derek looks livid, like he might be considering chewing his arm off to get free. The claw on Stiles' chest digs into his flesh, pulling his attention back to the creature, and Stiles shivers, icy cold rivers starting to flow in his veins. He gasps, tries to step back, but his feet are rooted to the spot. It's like his worst nightmares coming to life. He's helpless. He's on his own. He won't make it out. The creature places its other hand on Stiles' face, covering his cheek in a parody of intimacy. I could make you moan, it says. I could make you forget everything else. No more doubts, no more cares. I could make it delicious for you. Stiles is completely trapped in his own body. His limbs won't move and he can't even speak. He tries to reach for his magic, but the spark has been smothered by the creature's venom, frozen, along with everything else inside him. He can't give up. He doesn't have that in him. But he can't do anything to fight it off either. The creature's smile is ugly and cruel. Stiles wishes that wasn't the last thing he'd see, but he's afraid to look around, see the horrified expressions on Scott's and Derek's faces. That would definitely hurt more, so he shuts his eyes instead. Try to think of something nice, a good memory. Dancing with Lydia at her wedding, his dad burning pancakes for breakfast, Derek. No, Stiles says, his voice little more than a whisper. It doesn't mean anything, won't help a bit, but he can't give in. That's not him, so he says again, no. And as if on cue, help arrives. Stiles can't get warm. He's wrapped in three layers of blankets, and he has Erica and Isaac snuggled against him on either side, but he can still feel the creature's icy fingers in his stomach, in his chest, holding his heart in a tight grip. It feels like he's never going to be able to get warm again. He shivers, burying his face in the blankets, and feels Isaac try to scoot closer, even though there's no more room left between them. Erica's hands are in his hair, and she's making shushing noises, which makes him realize that he's moaning, a little bit under his breath. He tries to stop, but it doesn't work. Erica. He hears Derek say from far, far away, you keep an eye on the sheriff tonight. It knows who we are now. I don't want anyone alone. Erica moves away, and Stiles is now extra cold, but he holds in the wine building in his throat because his dad. Derek is right. Stiles should have thought of that, and Erica would be perfect for the job, because his dad has a soft spot a mile wide for her. Stiles would be jealous except for how he likes it when his dad approves of the pack. It's tiring to have his two families at odds. But then Derek says, Isaac, find Boyd. Stay with him tonight. And this time Stiles does whine. He's cold. And Derek is getting rid of his puppy blankets. Werewolves, with their extra warm bodies and the tendency to enjoy platonic cuddling, are the best when you're cold or sick or broken-hearted. Stiles has never met a bad mood a puppy pile can't take care of. Derek should know this. He either hates Stiles or he has no heart. Puppy pile ruiner, Stiles says through chattering teeth. Derek doesn't bother acknowledging him. He goes into the kitchen and comes back with a mug of steaming something. Stiles watches him place the mug on the coffee table and hopes Derek doesn't expect him to drink that. The way his hands are shaking, he'll be wearing it in 2 seconds flat. Up, Derek says, pulling at his blankets. Stiles tugs them back. No, I'm cold. Derek rolls his eyes at him. I know. Just let go for a second. Now, Stiles has never blindly followed anyone in his life, but if there was ever a person that came close, it would be Derek. Derek has made mistake after mistake ever since they met, but he also somehow managed to gain everyone's trust by being dependable and loyal, and surprisingly self-sacrificing. Stiles is just a human and doesn't really feel the urge to bow to the alpha. But he's been in a werewolf pack long enough to understand the need for that sort of leadership, and that Derek, despite all his flaws, is a better leader than any of them could ever hope to be. That doesn't mean Stiles will give up his blankets without reserve. He'll watch Derek carefully and strike to get them back the moment he smells something iffy. But for now, He grudgingly releases his hold on them and lets them fall around him on the couch.
Drink that,
Derek tells him, tugging him up by the hand and pointing at the mug. Stiles doesn't bother telling him about the shaking hands. He's exhausted enough as it is, and it takes considerable energy to deal with Derek's do-as-I-say glares. He sits in front of the coffee table and cups the mug in his hands without picking it up. The warmth oozes into him and makes him shiver even harder. The drink smells a little like warm milk and a whole lot like alcohol, which sounds wonderful and heavenly and warm. So Stiles tried to take a sip without lifting it. Mmm, he says, appreciation and approval all rolled into one sound, and then proceeds to try and drown himself in the deliciously hot concoction. When he's done licking the last drops from his lips, he finds Derek standing over him, without a shirt. What happened to your shirt? He mumbles. But Derek ignores the question. He always does. It's not even annoying anymore because Stiles just expects it to happen. And manhandles him up, only to push him back down 2 steps to the right. There is a nest of blankets between him and the couch, and the fireplace, which is lit. When did that happen? Derek's even brought down some pillows to make it more comfortable. Stiles moans, covering his feet with a tattered red quilt, and leaning back, and... Okay, that's Derek's chest. He freezes, stops breathing even. But then Derek huffs out of breath and positions his limbs like a puppet. As Stiles figures, why sweat it? He's way past the point where he still has the ability to feel awkward. It's nothing like a puppy pile, with just the two of them though, that's for sure. Derek pulls the blankets around them, which is awesome because Stiles' arm feels like overcooked spaghetti right now, and he pulls Stiles tight against his chest, running his hands up and down Stiles' arms and torso to warm him up. Miraculously enough, it does work. I think I'm thawing, Stiles says, his voice shaky and low. Derek takes Stiles' hands in between his and rubs his fingers. He doesn't say anything. Stiles wakes up warm enough, except for the block of ice sitting in the pit of his stomach. He shivers, more from the thought than the situation. He can almost feel those claws on him, that wrinkled, dry skin against his, that foul breath. He shudders at the disturbingly vivid memory. He must have made a sound because his pillow moves, muscle clenching under his cheek, and, oh wow, Derek's chest, Stiles' cheek. They're awfully familiar, aren't they? Stiles tries to sit up, but Derek's arms tighten around him. He considers fighting him on it, pulling harder, and making Derek throw a "Why do you make my life so hard?" glare his way. But then, he's had a shitty day, and this is really comfortable, so he says, "What the hell?" and lets his body go. Derek's breathing is deep and steady, his chest rising and falling rhythmically against Stiles' back, one of his hands resting on Stiles' arm, the other on his stomach, under his t-shirt. The nest of blanket smells overwhelmingly like Derek now, and the scent makes Stiles wonder if werewolf senses are catching somehow, if maybe they rubbed off on him or something. The embers in the fireplace are dying, glowing with their last breath amidst the ashes, but the room is warm enough now. Stiles could get up. He should get up. He should move to a bed. He really doesn't want to.
"I couldn't get to you," Derek says, voice low and rumbling in the quiet.
"What?"
"The incubus. I couldn't get to you."
"And what you call this?" Stiles says with a wry smile. He absently rubbed a spot on his chest where the claws dug in.
"I think it got to me plenty." "It couldn't feed off of you," Derek insists. "It couldn't break you. Why is that, Stiles?"
This is one of the most annoying incarnations of Derek, the one who acts like he's everybody's boss. It's the surefire way to piss off Stiles. He must know that by now.
"It's my natural awesome. It couldn't get past the awesomosity within," Deaton said.
"Deaton said couples," Stiles interrupts him.
"I'm not a couple.
There is no significant other of Stiles. The pack would smell it on me the second I coupled. You know that." Derek stays silent for a second, The hand he has on Stas' arm tightens.
He said, devoted. Derek says finally, quiet, calm, maddening.
Stiles doesn't know what to say to that. He heard something about couples in love. Devoted would certainly mean something else. Stiles doesn't want to think about what devoted would mean. In fact, he wants to have the word deleted from the English language, kicked out of the dictionary because it's a stupid word, old-fashioned like lollygag. No one says lollygag anymore. This isn't the 70s. Also, it's extremely annoying that he somehow managed to teach Derek the benefits of paying attention to detail, only to have it work against him now. Fuck his life, seriously.
Who was the incubus talking about?
Derek asks, his tone just shy of interrogating.
Stiles huffs, pulling himself free of Derek's hold and fighting off the blankets.
He makes the world's most graceless exit and throws himself down on the couch. Derek pulls himself out of the nest in one smooth move and sits down next to him.
Fucking werewolves, elegant, like goddamn gazelles.
We're not talking about this, Stiles says, pulling his legs up to his chest and rubbing his arms around his knees. Derek doesn't seem to be listening.
It's me, isn't it?
Derek says, staring at him like he's solving a puzzle.
It meant me.
What does it matter? Stiles explodes. It's not like...
It matters to me. Derek cuts him off. You didn't tell me.
I didn't tell you?
Oh, that's it.
Stiles wants to punch Derek in the face really, really hard. But he tried that once and almost broke his fingers, so he lets it go.
I told you. I told you like 5 years ago. I even remember where. In the gym. Against the lockers. Ring any bells?
It was 8 months into Scott's transformation. Derek had saved Stiles' life approximately 7 times up to that moment, including his dashing rescue that day from Peter again. Derek had him against the lockers and was threatening him. Stiles can't even remember what about. He remembers that he was high on adrenaline and that the urge to kiss Derek was overwhelming.
This is not working anymore, you know,
Stiles had told him. His hands were covering Derek's, where Derek's were gripping his lapels. It was a nice moment. Stiles was feeling giddy, and he was not afraid in the least.
I know you won't hurt me, so you can just cut it out.
Really? Derek had said. He was smiling with one corner of his mouth.
Yeah, really. I'm warning you. You slam me against a wall one more time, I'm going to have to kiss you.
Derek had rolled his eyes at him. And Stiles had felt victorious somehow, baiting the dragon and living to tell the tale. But then, after that fateful day, Derek had stopped touching him altogether, not even to push him around. And Stiles had figured he'd been kindly rejected. It wasn't even a big deal. Stiles was, and still is, used to rejection.
That was...
Derek's voice brings him back out of his memories.
You were 17.
Stiles shrugs.
What do you want me to say? People don't hang on to their high school crushes for 5 years.
He sounds a little bit like Derek is trying to convince himself.
You didn't act like... You didn't say anything.
Wow. The degree to which Derek apparently doesn't know Stiles is astounding. Okay. First of all, have you met me? I'm stubborn. I hang on to things. It's what I do. And secondly, what do you expect me to do? Keep you updated on my crush status?
You should have said something.
Why? To make life more awkward for myself? Everyone still makes fun of me for the Lydia thing. Honestly, I don't need the aggravation.
But the aggravation is here now. And judging by the look on Derek's face, it's here to stay.
Look, this is nothing new. It's ancient history and... He loses his train of thought because, goddammit, the spot of coals in his gut is back with a vengeance. He tries to resist the shiver but fails, starts pulling at the tangled blankets on the floor. It's like there's an ice cube in his stomach, and the fucker's refusing to melt. Derek helps him untangle a large comforter and rubs it around him.
Still cold.
He asks, kneeling in front of him to rub his arms. Stiles' life is unreal. Has been since the night he snuck out to the woods to find the dead body of Laura Hale. But the way it usually goes is more in the horror movie direction, and not a romantic comedy one. A shirtless Derek Hale, kneeling in front of him and warming up his hands while staring up at him soulfully. Styles doesn't know what to do with that. Would you cut that out?
What if I don't? Derek says, hanging onto his hands. Are you going to shove me up against the lockers and kiss me?
There's a very annoying smile on Derek's lips, and Styles will be annoyed by that in a second. But first, he has to process the fact that Derek is flirting with him, and that his face is right there. His stupid, soulful eyes, and his perfect fucking jawline, and his goddamn lips. Styles vaguely hears himself say, "What are you doing?" But the sound is lost in his thundering heartbeat, and the blush rushing in his ears. And then Derek is pushing himself up, just a little, just enough, to have their lips touch. And Styles loses all sense of reason. He falls into the kiss. It's not an exaggeration to say, but he's pictured this a million times in his head. Fantasized about Derek wanting him, Derek touching him, Derek smiling at him. Derek fucking him long and hard and fast and slow. He said years to contemplate, and he's been devoted, all right. He's longed, he's yearned, he's pined. He's never going to use the fancy romance novel words to describe it out loud, ever. But yeah, he's been through all that. And now that he's somehow getting this, out of nowhere, all he can think is, if this is some sort of pity thing, I swear to God, Derek. Derek rubs his nose against Styles's, nuzzles his cheek, and lets out a satisfied sigh.
You're not the only one who can hide things.
It takes Styles a long moment to process that sentence. Derek has been hiding things. Of a romantic nature. Concerning Styles. Derek kisses his slack lips softly. Once, twice, changing the angle. And Styles finally snaps out of it. He kicks away the comforter and pulls Derek up on top of him, kissing, 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 until his lips are numb. And then kissing some more because he's wanted this for so long. And Derek makes the most amazing, needy sounds. His palms glide over Derek's skin, his arms and his back, until they settle on Derek's neck, holding him in place. They're both breathing hard. Styles takes a moment to just look at Derek, take in the full flush of his skin, and he lets himself touch Derek's face, stroke his hair back, because, fuck you, he gets to be as sentimental as he wants. He almost died today, and it doesn't seem like Derek has any objections either, the way he's leaning into Styles' touch. Like maybe he had a fantasy or two about this himself. Styles lets his body slide down, maneuvering them so he's lying on the couch with Derek between his legs. And then hooks one leg behind Derek to pull him even closer. Derek smiles down at him. Styles smiles back and bites his lip. For once he'd like to not word vomit all over the moment. Derek leans down and licks his lips open, kissing him deep and filthy, grinding his hips down hard enough to make Styles moan helplessly into his mouth. He pushes Styles' shirt up, trying to take it off, and they somehow manage to both get caught in it. Derek laughing the expletives Styles is coming up with. And it's easy. Styles never thought it would be easy between them. As soon as the shirt is off, Derek's eyes land on the mark of Styles' chest. He runs the pad of a finger over it gently.
Does it hurt?
Styles shakes his head. It's not even a large wound. Styles had worse falling off his bike. He's guessing at the origin, and not the size, that's making Derek frown, though. I'm okay. Styles says, feeling uncomfortable with the scrutiny. Derek looks like he wants to go out and hunt the incubus down. And while Styles appreciates the thought, he does have more pressing matters in mind first. Can we just... He flails a hand around, quite expressively, if he does say so himself. And Derek seems to be able to read his gesture just fine.
Have lots of sex.
Yes, Styles says. That, definitely. Derek ducks his head and licks Styles' chest. First the wound, and then his nipple. Then he licks the nipple again, and sucks it into his mouth, making Styles moan in the stupidest way possible. No grace. He has no grace in any situation, ever. Then he climbs up slightly to latch on Styles' neck, sucking a very intentional, very obvious, bruise there. Marked. Okay. Styles can deal with that. While Derek concentrates on his masterpiece, Star decides that one of them should do something about the pants situation. They are way too old to come in their pants. He unbuttons Derek's jeans first. So where's the fun in doing his own when he's already seen his own dick? Reaches inside to wrap his fingers around Derek's cock, reverently. Because so many dreams, so many fantasies, have revolved around this. And bites Derek's bicep as he moves his hand, because holy hell, he's doing this. They're doing this. There's actual sex happening here. If this turns out to be an incubus-induced dream, I'm going to be so pissed. There's a lot of groaning and biting and fighting with their jeans after that. And when they finally settle, Derek's lips are on his. Derek's hands are stroking both of their cocks, and their breaths and moans are mingling, getting louder and more desperate as something builds inside the stomach, hot and urgent and strong. And soon gives up on trying to contain it. There's no point. He doesn't even want to. He wants to let it go. He wants to give in. A part of him always wants to give in to Derek. Give everything to Derek, and it seems like the feeling's mutual, because Derek lets go first, coming in hot spurts between them, bearing a shell to Stiles' neck and trembling with aftershocks. And Stiles follows soon after, his hand on his own dick, covered in Derek's cum. Stiles' post-coital bliss has never been this blissful. He's high on... Okay, there's no other way to say this. He's high on Derek, and it's sickening. They're lying on the couch, facing each other, and Stiles can't contain his smile. He can't stop touching Derek. And Derek? Derek looks as peaceful as Stiles has ever seen him. Are you warm enough? Derek asks, pulling at the blanket to cover Stiles' shoulders. Stiles doesn't even bother trying to tell him that he's fine. The icy feeling is all gone. He just lets Derek fuss over him, and smiles like an idiot, because he's idiotically, impossibly happy. Your chest is ridiculous, he tells Derek, mapping the planes of Derek's chest by touch.
Your face is ridiculous,
is Derek's very mature retort. Stiles pokes his tongue out at him in retaliation, just so that they're on the same maturity level. Derek looks like he's going to show him what he should do with that tongue when the front door opens and shuts and someone steps into the room. Says Scott, from somewhere behind the couch. Stiles doesn't bother sitting up. Scott, he says, this is really not a good time. Oh, you guys, he sounds confused. Did you? Thankfully, Derek cuts him off, or God only knows what he'd be asking.
Scott, go away.
Right, Scott says, shutting his mouth with an audible click. I was. He shuffles his feet. Deaton said to tell you that the incubus left town. Went north? Good, Derek says, his hands tightening on Stiles. I'll just let you guys. Yeah. Scott moves away, and Stiles hits the front door slam one more time. Well, that wasn't awkward at all, Stiles says, relaxing. He doesn't want to imagine Erica's face when she finds out about him and Derek. Or Isaac's. Or, oh God, Lydia's. This is going to be hell. You should tell the pack when I'm away. Far, far away. I could go after the incubus. Derek glares at him.
We're not going after the incubus.
Stiles pulls back to give him a full scale, what the fuck, look. We can't let it get away.
It's out of our territory, Derek insists.
Yeah, and? It's still going to kill people. Derek huffs at him. Stiles makes a horrified face. Before he knows it, they're as far apart as the couch allows, and... What the hell? This isn't how it's supposed to go. Hold on, Stiles says. Time out. We are not having a fight right now. We can't have our first fight the same day as we... You know, that's... It actually sounds a lot like them, but no. Stiles can't. No. No, he says emphatically. Hell no! Derek's eyebrows are something subtle yet complicated. Stiles reads it as confusion.
You want to postpone the fight?
Yes, Stiles nods encouragingly. We'll postpone it. Sex first, fight later. He scoots a little closer, his eyes immediately landing on Derek's lips. What do you think? 3 hours?
4?
Derek rolls them over, so Stiles is on top.
Make that 6, he says.
Stiles leans in and licks Derek's lips. Agreed. They get back to the fight 7 hours later. Stiles yells, Derek glares. Stiles storms off, Derek tracks him down. They have sex for another 2 hours. They finally agree on a compromise by hour 13, only to find out that Chris already took care of the incubus himself. Stiles says, oh well, that's settled then. They go back to bed. The end. Thanks for listening.